Yeah, we're introducing you to the mayoral candidates one at a time. We've had a few of them on. We got a few scheduled for next week. Someone said that our last guest last hour or last half hour failed to mention Linda Gorton. He mentioned you and himself, and he said five others, but he didn't mention her by name. She'll be here next week. Don't worry, we're going to get everybody on. Kevin Stennett is with us now. Kevin, good morning.
Jack, good morning. Or should I say Mayor of Lexington Radio, good morning.
Morning, Mayor, anyway. Hey, I appreciate that. Tell us about your background. You've been a council person and very active in our city. Tell us about it.
Well, Jack, you know, 14 years ago, I came down to City Hall to get some lights for a ball field on the north end of Lexington. And those kids, those 500 kids, deserve to be able to play even at night. And a city official once told me that you'll never have lights in that field. So the next year, Jack, I ran for city council, and the first thing I did was put lights on that baseball field. And that was 14 years ago, and it's hard to believe. I told my wife at the time, we'll just do this for 2 years, and then I'll go back to helping the neighborhoods I grew up in and helping the kids. And, you know, I spent the last 14 years helping those neighborhoods and kids all over the city now as an at-large council member.
Right.
So it's been a great track record I've had of getting things done and helping people, and that's what I enjoy doing.
You'll never get lights at that ballpark.
Yeah, I thought a city official should never tell someone that in the city. You know, I understand budget cuts and budget woes, but at the end of the day, it's about helping kids. And given the issues we have today with our kids, you know, every opportunity we can get them out in a recreation and outside enjoying sports or any other type of activity, we should be trying to do.
What's the biggest issue that we have in the city right now, in your opinion?
Well, Jack, right now, the crime and education, you know, they go hand in hand. We have to have a better future for our kids. I worked hard with Commerce Lexington over the last couple of years in a school system to bring the career academies to Lexington, and I'm very proud that we have three of our six high schools participating in that model. We've already seen great results from that. It's increased the attendance rate over 30% in our school system and our high schools. So, you know, education and crime go hand in hand, and those are the two biggest issues facing Lexington right now.
Do you like the new police chief, and are you satisfied with the department generally?
Well, being a Bryan Station defender as well, so I'm kind of biased. I'm a little biased, but I love our police chief. You know, I think I'm a big believer in the right person for the right time, and I think Chief Weathers is that person for Lexington right now, given the problems that we are facing. You know, our men and women put their lives on the line every day for us, and I've been a big supporter of them over the last several years and making sure they have enough manpower as well as equipment to do their job right, and I'll continue to do that as mayor.
All right, we have open phone lines right now, and I'm going to open those for you to call 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty@wvlkam.com, or we have a text line that is sponsored by Atlas Contracting, 253-5959. Let's see, we've got some emails. I was walking my dog during your last interview. Who was it? I only heard the last part. Okay, that was Ike Lawrence. Let's see. Lexington does have a huge traffic problem, but I will vote for this guy just to make the swamp on the current city council mad, whatever that means. I think that was intended for my last guest. My last guest did say, and I want to get your reaction to it because it's a big thing, and that is moving City Hall. His opinion was there's nothing wrong with the current building.
Well, you know, we are currently paying, Jack, $3.1 million a year just to stay in that building. We could easily build a new facility, and that cost would be around $2 million. So you save $1.1 right off the bat. And then we have $22 million in deferred maintenance that we haven't done to that building that needs to be done here very soon. We don't even use our own parking garage. We actually have condemned it for several years. So given that financial constraint, we would save $22 million and $1.1 million or over a year moving to a new facility. And let's remember this. You know, government centers traditionally, especially in our sister cities all over the world, are things of pride for people. People want to see that. They want to go to it. They want to feel like government is there and working for them. Now, I'm not saying build a Taj Mahal, but building a more efficient building and returning our building to what it's really intended to use for. And that could be dorms for UK professors. It could be apartment living. There's a number of options out there that return that beautiful historic structure to what it really was intended to be used for.
This is George. Good morning, George. You're on the air.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm carefully considering the mayor race. I'll eliminate one person out of it. I'm not going to mention that person's name. But, Mr. Stinnett, what is your stance on the recent gun activity and the students protesting about guns in school? And how would you feel about possibly having unnamed random people in the school that are armed to protect the students in the building?
Well, first of all, I give kudos to all of our students who are standing up and asking their parents and the adults here in this community and our leadership to take action. It was heartwarming to see the students really take an active role in that last couple of weeks, and I applaud their efforts. I'm a big believer that education, safe schools, safe neighborhoods all go hand in hand to our crime rate. And I will do everything I can to support our school system in any effort they deem necessary. We'll get that report back next week publicly and be able to digest what their findings have been in these town hall meetings. But I plan to do everything I can to make our school safe, make our neighborhood safe, and make sure our kids grow up in a safe environment in our community.
And what about the opioid travesty we've had?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Because that seems to drive it.
It does. And, you know, I pushed for 4 years ago our new office in government called Substance Abuse Violence Intervention, the SAVI office. I was a big proponent in getting started the International Overdose Awareness Day, which now has over 2,000 people come to annually at Jacobson Park. And most recently, I introduced to our city council Voices for Hope. And this is the first ever true recovery program that wants to start in Lexington. So we do a great job on treatment. We do a great job on getting people back on their feet, but we need to keep them there. And the recovery program is essential to making sure that happens. And I'm a proud supporter of all those efforts and making sure once and for all we curb this opiate epidemic.
I have to say I'm impressed.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And to another line we go. This is Earl. Hey, Earl, good morning.
Okay, over the last 4 years, we've been led by a very liberal mayor. Soft on crime, very soft on drugs, soft on illegal aliens. What are you going to do to change the way of doing business that we have done here for the last 4 years? And about the statues, would you remove those statues if you had to do all over again?
Well, I believe Lexington's ready for a new.
Hang on, let him talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I believe Lexington's ready for a new perspective. Mayor Gray has done a fabulous job of getting our city budget back in order. I've been chair of the budget and worked on it with him over the last 8 years. We've corrected some of those financial woes. He's done a good job of bringing hope back to downtown. You know, I'm a big believer that downtown is where every neighborhood can come together because every major road leads down here. But I'm ready to take us into the next level. I'm ready to work on a momentum of jobs and the economic development side of the things and make sure everyone has an equal opportunity here, whether it be our kids or their parents.
All right, Earl. Kevin Stinnett is with us. He's running for mayor. We got a bunch of calls. We got a bunch of texts. We got a bunch of everything. Let's go to Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Jack Patty, and good morning, Kevin. I have a question. For many, many months, the citizens of Lexington listened to Mayor Gray. We listened to the city council. We listened to civic leaders. We listened to concerned citizens about the panhandling epidemic. It's back up there. Where was it? You cannot pull up to a four-way stop on Nicholasville Road and not get, approached. What is your thoughts on that? Because I've seen that van. I've seen it pull up to a panhandler. And the panhandler put his hands up in a no, I'm not interested type thing, and the van pulled off. What are your thoughts on that?
I took the time, you know, a year ago to help revise our pedestrian and safety ordinance that would make our roads a lot safer because we had actually 8 people hit and killed while they were either standing on the side of a road or trying to cross the road without a crosswalk. It's a very serious situation. We've tried a couple things. Lexington's a very giving community. We have shelters, and those that know and been around know where to go. Unfortunately, we have some out-of-town folks that are preying on our city and those major intersections, and it's something we can still address. We're going to have an update, hopefully, here to City Council soon about what activity has occurred from an enforcement standpoint of our new ordinance. But when the Supreme Court made their ruling. You know, it effectively changed the ability to be able to enforce that ordinance that has been on the books for years. But I think it's a serious problem. I think people are still frustrated with it, but I think we've made a lot of headway from some of the action we've taken the last 12 months.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's see if we can get through some of these texts. What is your opinion of the mayor and council's attempt to raise minimum wage? It would probably put me out of business.
Well, that was an issue that was decided by the Supreme Court. We don't have the ability, as I stood behind it, that we did not have that ability locally to change the minimum wage. And I truly believe it's a federal issue, and the courts ultimately decided that it's a state issue and federal issue, that we have no jurisdiction over that locally.
Here's another text that says there are more pressing issues than the need to be there are more pressing issues that need to be taken care of, like roads all over the city. That needs to be done before moving City Hall.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. You know, that's why I'm pushing to take a look at one of our biggest roads and the biggest road that the city owns, and that's Man of War. That affects 66% of our city on a daily basis, if not everyone, if you travel on the south end of Lexington. So, you know, that's a big deal. That's a multi-million-dollar project that we really need to focus on. Hopefully we'll have the dollars in the budget this year to go ahead and get that design moving forward and figure out a way to fix that.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Good. Kevin, a couple questions for you. What is your stance on gun control for our city? Are you pro Second Amendment? And the statue removals. I think that was such a tipping point in our city's history that should have never taken place. I want to know why the city council voted unanimously to remove those statues and why they did it almost in a secretive manner in the middle of the night. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay.
Thank you.
On the statue issue, that place where the statues were located used to be a historic place, used to be a courthouse, used to be a government area. Now it's being reinvigorated into a recreational space that should be open for all people to be able to come there and enjoy our community. We've spent a lot of money on that courthouse to make it open to the public again. And just for that fact alone, that we're looking at a space that should be open to all people, that relocating the statues to where they're more appropriate and where people can actually pay their respects was a good move for the city. You know, in terms of doing it under the cover of night, you know, there were threats made to our city. Let's be honest. And we did it the best to keep the safety of our citizens at foremost. There was nothing nefarious about that. But I did support that. All of my colleagues supported it because it was the right thing to do in a space that we want to make sure it's inviting to all citizens. We're not trying to erase history, but we want to make that space opening. Thursday Night Live, for instance, is a big entertainment venue that starts next week. So we want to make sure that space is welcoming to everyone that comes to Lexington.
Do you support the PDR program, and do you support maintaining the urban services boundary? That's from Vicky.
Yeah. Well, last year I made a motion, a council during this comprehensive plan discussion, that to keep our maintain our current boundary. And that's important to understand because our biggest asset in Fayette County is the interstate. That's the biggest asset we have in terms of economic development left. And we do need some flexibility should there be another Toyota or another type of business that we can locate along our interstate. But other than having that flexibility to create jobs, again, 85% of our payroll comes from those paychecks. So we should be doing everything we can to maintain that flexibility in creating jobs. The PDR program I've supported every year I've been on council. We review it annually, and I'm open to new ideas and suggestions. We're actually reviewing it right now as a council and may recommend changes to it going forward. But we have a lot of other pressing needs that are competing in this year's budget. We have a pension mandate that's coming down from Frankfurt. So we have a lot of other pressing needs. So everything will be on the table to discuss and review and make sure we can afford to do what we can for the citizens.
Here's another text. What about the Second Amendment?
The Second Amendment is protected by the Constitution. You know, and until the federal government tells us differently, I support the Constitution, Jack.
Okay. Here's one that says, is Kevin going to change the color crosswalk on Short Street?
I think something that's really cool that could have been done there is allow that intersection, such a key intersection in town, to really be an intersection for any group that wanted to paint their color, whether it be for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, St. Patrick's Day we just had. So maybe that idea is floating out there, and we could take a look at that to make it fair for everyone to be able to represent their colors, because we do it downtown throughout the year with flags and other things. So having an ability for every group to be able to do that once a year may be something special for Lexington to be able to look at.
Here's another text that says, I don't care about Lexington schools, roads, sewers. I think anyone who does not live in Lexington should not be paying a Lexington city tax. How do you feel about that?
Well, if you work here, you're going to pay, obviously, the occupational tax. Yeah. There's nothing if your employer is located in Lexington, you're going to pay that tax. But you don't pay a property tax if you don't live in Lexington. So you would not be paying for that garbage collection, street lights, street cleaning, et cetera.
Okay, back to the other thing about the short street. He says that makes no sense. All space is open to all people, so we don't mind offending people in some areas. This is like book burning.
Well, I disagree. I disagree totally.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T, toll-free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Our text line, if you want to do that very quickly, is sponsored by Atlas Contracting, 253-5959. And our phone lines are open. So, Kevin, I'll give you a little bit of time here at the end, and if we get another call, I'll interrupt you. But go ahead. You've got the floor.
I want to spend the next 4 years, Jack, working as hard as I can for our city, for our citizens, for our children, making our city safe, reducing crime, and bringing jobs and economic development to the forefront, and making sure every citizen, regardless of what neighborhood you live in, or what job you work in, that you have an equal opportunity for your family to grow and prosper here. Because our city is special to me, and I'm asking for everyone in our city to believe in me and believe in my leadership and the work I've done. I've taken on some big challenges on council the last 4 years, or last 14 years, excuse me, and I'm proud of that. And I'm not afraid to try to tackle what's right and do the right thing. I have a motto, Jack. I always treat people like I want to be treated, and I'll continue to do so as mayor. And I'll work as hard as they work, and I'll care as much as they care about our city, and I want to be their mayor.
And let's go to Steve. You may get the last word in here. Steve, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. My wife and I moved downtown several years ago and enjoy walking around and enjoying the new restaurants and atmosphere, but very concerned about red light runners and speeders downtown.
Okay.
What can we do about it?
A lot of people in town are concerned about that too, Steve, not just downtown. We have that issue everywhere, and I think our police need more help. We used to have a larger second shift traffic department, and that's something we need to bring back in our community, because it's not getting any easier to venture out into a crosswalk downtown, and I see it daily on a first-hand basis. And our police are well aware of it, and they're trying everything they can. I think we need to help them do their job.
One more. This is Wally. You do get the last question. Go ahead.
It's my understanding that the city has changed their hiring practices in police, fire, and all the city employees, eliminating rankings and rule of fives, which allows a lot more, to me, nepotism and cronyism. What's your position on that?
Well, the state changed it about 4 years ago, which changed the old method of HR picking the top five, and then the director or commissioner, and in any case, would be able to pick from those individuals. You know, I think it's made it a lot easier to bring in outside talent to government. We were having an issue with getting some talent in certain departments. But, you know, we have a very good employee base in our government. We have some hardworking employees, and I've not seen that. I've seen people that want to work every day, want to come to work, and I've seen directors that want to hire the best people to do the best job for the city.
Thank you for your call. Got a question you could talk an hour about. I apologize, but one sentence on this. How will the state pension mandate affect our city's financial position and ability to operate going forward?
It'll be devastating. $7.75 million to our general fund, $3.1 million to our urban fund, over $10 million impact this year. It really puts a big deficit to our city budget as we prepare and we'll announce on April 10th what the mayor's budget is.
Kevin Stennett, thank you very much for being with us.
Jack, thank you.